Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, from World of Tiger to the cats from the New York Times to one of the most famous photographers in Hollywood. We have Vincent Versace, the famous legendary Hollywood photographer.
Legendary.
The Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Micromat, Otherworld Computing, DVD, XDV, Macworld Magazine, the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, Layers Magazine, Dr. Mac Direct, Mac Update, and the Digital Production Buzz Show of Philip Hodges. How are we doing, Sam?
Fantastic. Wonderful day. It's beautiful outside. We've got a jam-packed show today.
We do. How are we doing today, Ken Ray?
Didn't know you were going to do that. Hold on.
How was your time off? I heard you went to the beach, had a little bit of fun.
I did, and I did.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
I love that.
I was just talking to Brad, though, and Brad Wright, going to be on later from our good friend, Brad.
Yes.
I think vacation is a sham. I think vacation just shows you how your life should be. And then you come back, and you're like, oh, this is what I do? I forgot.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I don't know. I've never been on a vacation.
But you know what I did do? I took my PowerBook with me everywhere I went.
Really?
So it was a very Mac-centric vacation.
Yeah, but see, that's not really vacation, is it? When you vacation is like when you leave everything.
That's pretty sad.
Cell phone, pagers,
exactly.
PDAs, PowerBooks, and you just like put a Hawaiian shirt on and split, brother.
I did turn off my cell phone.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. For three days, nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, though. People need to take vacations,
yeah,
you know?
I guess.
Hey, we have a great show. Brad Wright's going to be on talking about photography and broadcast TV, about what do I do to take a picture and make it so I can put it into Final Cut or iMovie and it actually shows up right on a TV, because, you know, there's a difference between digital images and stuff that needs to show up on an actual television screen. So we're going to be talking about that. Sam is here, of course. He's going to be doing his Cool Mac Picks.
A lot more than Cool Mac Picks.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Giveaways, too, remember?
Sammy's giving more stuff away.
Oh, yeah.
His brain's going to explode.
I love it.
So much
bling,
stuff.
Bling.
We're going to have Vincent Versace II, the legendary Hollywood photographer, natural light, Smithsonian cat, just crazy stuff with Vincent, talking about what's going on with him. Laura has done a beautiful piece here from Wallace Nichols, co-director of Ocean Revolution. So Laura's going to call and talk about that. She's got a segment she did with that deal. Brad's going to come on again in the second hour. We're going to talk about calibration techniques if you're going to use a television screen or a monitor. Now, even if you're doing stuff in Final Cut, but even in iMovie, you need to make sure this stuff looks right on a television set, and it looks different on your computer monitor than it does on your TV. So Brad's going to give us some tips on how to calibrate these things so you can actually make sure your image looks right looking at it on your computer screen than it does on a TV. Because a lot of guys don't have breakout boxes and expensive decks and monitors and all this stuff, but you want to make sure your stuff looks right, because it does. There's a big difference between Mr. Monitor, you know, television, and a television's just terrible compared to, you know, on a PowerBook or, you know,
sure,
a Mac. So we're going to talk about that. Philip Hodges will be on doing his digital production buzz and all the cool things going on. We're going to be doing live gigs from Seagraph next week from Los Angeles.
O'Reilly.
Sammy's going to be at O'Reilly up in Portland.
The open source conference,
hanging out
OzCon.
With the cats with the sandals and, you know, everybody sharing the love.
Open source OzCon.
I'm going to be in L.A. with the cats with the AK-47, so it's going to be rocking.
Nice. We're
going to be doing that. And then, of course, we're going to have David Pogon from the New York Times.
Oh, yeah.
In theory, we are.
We're going to talk to him about his new O'Reilly book, actually called Missing Manual.
Missing Phone Book.
Missing Manual for Tiger, and this is 839 pages.
Dude, it's the missing phone book from some county that they lost the area code for.
It's unbelievable.
It's like Mac OS 10.
You could kill someone by throwing it at him.
It's a weapon.
But it's great. We're going to talk about
that. I
want to
ask David if he's, you know, what it was like to do Martha Stewart. You know, he was the computer guy in Martha Stewart.
On her show.
He used to go out to the Connecticut ranch and hang out with Martha and have chutney, and it was just crazy.
And talk about PDAs.
You're listening to Inside Mac Show. You're here with Scott Shepard, Ken Ray, and little Sammy Levin. Next up, the best news in the Mac business. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium.
This
is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, from photography to missing manuals to you name it, we got it. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4 and the very cool application for your iPod, PodLock. You can check it out at micromat.com. Right now, the best news in the Mac business, Ken Ray.
Thank you very much, Scott. HP and Apple part ways on the iPod. Apple heads to one school but is locked out of another. And more iTunes phone shenanigans. We start in Silicon Valley. The HP iPod deal is off. In a statement provided to Playlist Friday, Apple said that HP has decided that reselling iPods does not fit within the company's current digital entertainment strategy. HP will stop selling the iPods in September. The tie-up was originally announced in January of 2004 under the watch of then-HP CEO Carly Fiorina. Of course, Fiorina was ousted in February of this year. According to the Wall Street Journal, it was soon after Fiorina's departure that top execs at HP looked at the iPod deal and decided that it wasn't right going forward. HP is not allowed to partner with another digital music player maker or develop a player of its own until August of 2006 under an agreement with Apple. HP will, however, keep installing iTunes on its PCs and laptops. Apple is on its way to school in one county and suspended in another. On Wednesday, Apple announced a deal that will let it supply 30,000 iBooks to the public school system in Broward County, Florida. That's one iBook for every K through 12 grade student in the county. But another school system partnership for the company is in jeopardy. A deal to supply 17,000 iBooks this fall and ultimately as many as 63,000 iBooks to Georgia's Cobb County School District is on hold. It's been stopped due to a lawsuit filed by a former county commissioner. The so-called Power to Learn program used money set aside from a special tax fund. How that tax override was represented to voters is now at issue. The Cobb County School Board will meet Monday, August 1st, to discuss the decision and determine whether they'll appeal the ruling. Apple this week revamped the Mac Mini line. The brick now comes with 512 megs of memory standard in every model. Prices still start at $499. Models with built-in wireless networking with AirPort Extreme and Bluetooth start at $599. Minis with a DVD and CD-burning SuperDrive start at $699. Motorola's media event came and went Monday without the iTunes phone. Motorola CEO Ed Zander has said the Motorola iTunes phone will be launched this summer. During the presentation, Zander read a statement from Apple that said the iTunes phone will be unveiled at a music event within the next two calendar months and will still ship this quarter. Rumors and speculation now hinge on an event in late August in the UK. A report from TheStreet.com says Motorola and Apple have agreed to unveil the phone at next month's V Festival, adding credence to reports out a couple of weeks ago. American technology research analyst Albert Lin says Virgin Mobile will be one of the first companies to offer the phone, but lest you start counting your chickens, a Virgin Mobile UK rep said Thursday that there is no confirmation of when the phone will be launched and that it is not being launched at the V Festival. The V Festival is a four-stage concert sponsored by Virgin Mobile. It runs August 20th and 21st. The Gap is tying up with iTunes for a promotion. Clicks News says people who try on certain pairs of Gap jeans in an upcoming promotion will get a free iTunes download. The Find Your Favorite Fit promotion runs in August. According to the report, the campaign will also include in-store events, print and TV ads, and airtime during the MTV Music Awards. The iTunes giveaway promotes four new styles of jeans. The Gap says the favorite jeans and favorite songs are both individual expressions of personality and style. I say, how ugly do four lines of jeans have to be that you have to bribe people to try them on? And finally, a report from Mac Minute says the company Bold Games is partnering with Gabriel Interactive to offer two new John Deere games for kids. Welcome to Merriweather Farm shows Johnny Tractor and his friends plowing, harvesting, and taking care of animals on the farm. And Busy Days in Deerfield Valley features Danny Dozer, Barney Backhoe, and friends hard at work digging, lifting, and helping out around town. Both games are scheduled for release in September. They'll run The Farmers of the Future 1999. Not since Lego people became Jedi Masters as a game idea seems so goofy. And that is your Inside Mac news for this week.
Very nice. What a great job. Ken
that's,
rocks.
That's what I call, sir. That is just great. It just reminds me of, it's just pretty funny.
You know, I think the back, I think the whole, the John Deere thing is actually cool because I think it will inflict.
Inflict.
No, I think it'll actually, no, it's good for kids to learn these kind of things because anymore they don't, there's not metal Tonka trucks for kids to play with.
Yeah, and nothing's going to teach you life on the farm like sitting behind an iBook.
Well,
yeah, come on, dude.
It's going to be better than what there is now. I mean, stuff is so plastic, and nobody has any backbone anymore. You know, it's terrible.
Now, you see,
this is good stuff.
My thing is, I never would have guessed that Barney Backhoe would be in a kid's game. call me crazy, but I thought that might have been from Hustler Interactive or something
that's
like that.
True.
Yeah, or something.
So here's my question. HP just last month, I think, was it last month that they expanded their iPod line?
They did. Here's the thing. Those guys are stupid.
Well, no, don't do that. Don't
dude, come
do that.
On. They're making money off selling iPods.
No, there's, guys, there's a reason why they did that. First of all, Carlo Fiorino's gone, so he might say, hey, this is not my strategy. Second, I don't think that was the reason. They've got a media strategy. They have Windows. They've got their media player, their
dude,
whole system.
Dude, I need to make a – here's a comment.
It's only 5% of the total iPod sales.
I don't understand it, though. They can't sell their own music player to what, 2006, the last quarter?
August of 2006.
Dude, that sounds like when Microsoft is going to release Long Hang.
Actually, that's going to be 3 months later, it looks like.
Oh, 3 months they say now.
It's called Vista.
Yeah, but it's Vista, but...
Vista. Hasta la vista,
now,
baby.
Now, listen to this, okay? Oh, think of this, okay?
That's not bad.
Think of this. We have a Vista. It's this beautiful grassy field from Longhorn. The bovine run off the edge of the Vista into the center of the earth.
Yeah.
But you know what, really, the whole deal is with it?
Where are you going?
I'm going with this, brother.
Play it.
That was good.
It didn't work.
Oh, great.
That was fantastic.
That's good.
Here, I'll play
no,
it
here's
again.
My
Hold
question.
On.
I want to go back to the actual, I want to go back to the news story. Hang on a second. HP, they say that they met shortly after Fiorino left, which was in February, and they decided then that it wasn't going to be good going forward. So what we're going to do is a month before we announce that we're going to terminate the program, we're going to expand what we offer. That's the part that's confusing to me. Why did they even start offering the shuffle if they knew somewhere in the workings that they were going to quit? Now, the other thing, and I don't know how I feel about this, but beer drinker extraordinaire and financial guru Rob Black says, I mean, he's actually really curious to see what HP is going to do because, really, they wouldn't drop it if they didn't have something in mind.
They could build their own just like
Dell
here's
did. Dell built one. The creative monkeys built
you know,
one.
I honestly hadn't heard of that until last week.
Dude, all these guys have built one, but guess what?
What?
They're atrocious.
Well...
Dude, go get an iRiver and play with it. You need to have, like, a degree in user interface deal to even navigate the thing to get to play anything.
And HP has seen the success of the iPod. HP, I mean, granted, not the company that they used to be by some accounts, but, I mean, they understand that sex sells, and they may well make something as sexy.
You think so? Well, I've never seen anything out of HP that looks good.
It's going to be a long time.
Their designers have brain tumors.
It's going to be a long time before.
Tumors.
We'll see. We'll see.
But think of it. Let me put the soundscape here again. Okay. There's a beautiful grassy field. There's these bovine. They're running. Longhorn will be out in Q4 of 2006. But you know something? This is what we really think about it.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, you see, we already did that, Jeff.
That's Vista.
Vista. Vista, Vista. It depends on your interpretation of it. All I know is those cats are hurting. Adios, Redmond. We'll be right back.
Your PowerMac G4 has never let you down. It still gets the job done, but it doesn't seem very fast anymore. We'll make it new again with extreme G4 speed from top-rated OWC Mercury Extreme G4 upgrade. Turn 9 in a day with blazing G4 2MB Level 3 cache. Extended speeds up to 1.467 GHz. 100% compatible with all your software and Apple's OS versions, including macOS 10.3 Panther. It's just plug and play to make that Mac new again. Check it out at www.macsales.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Otherworld Computing. If you want to upgrade your Mac, get some new gear to do music, new GarageBand goodies, things from M-Audio, hard drives, memory, you name it, these cats have it. Check it out, MacSales.com. Right now we're joined by our buddy Brad Wright. We're going to talk about photographs and TVs. you know, you're doing stuff, you're taking pictures, you're doing stuff in iMovie, or you're doing stuff with Photoshop, and you want to put pictures into your videos, and they eventually are going to end up on TV. Well, this is a broadcast standard that you need to make your photography actually fit a broadcast standard so they look right on TV. So Brad's here today to tell us about how to do this. How you doing, Brad?
Oh, doing great. It's good to be here. Actually, we're in San Francisco, because San Francisco is one of the birthplaces of television, and it also has Ansel Adams. Ansel Adams grew up here. So, I mean, it's kind of a nice little fix that we're segueing into this type of program, because we're here at the very epicenter of two, you know, massive fields converging.
Right.
But talk about what happens on a television. When you see your photo on a computer monitor, you think, wow, that looks really good. Of course, there's higher resolution when you look at it on your little LCD screen, and so that's one of the things that's a little bit makes that photograph look so good. When you bring that over to a television, then suddenly it doesn't look so good, and there's a lot of reasons why it doesn't. Your computer is actually in RGB color space, typically, where your television monitor is in a completely different color space, which actually has less color than your RGB screen. And so you're actually, when you transfer that over to your television, you're actually dropping color.
What's the color space for a television?
It's called YCBCR. That's the technical name for it. But it's actually just a lot less than. Basically, if you could go through the entire formula.
Start getting into the 444, 422, all these different color spaces.
You get into really deep technical terms, but you actually just basically, when it comes in, when it actually gets displayed on your television, you're dropping a lot of color information. And so that's one of the things to watch out for. You got to watch out also for fine detail. It will just drop right out on a television. So take a look at your image. One way to test for it is take your image, drop it down to 320 by 240, about like that's roughly a good size, then scale it back up. And take a look at it and see what you lost.
That's a good idea, because you take away all the information when you make it smaller. Then when you blow it back up, it looks like it's going to be on a TV.
Well, your TV, that's right. Your TV has about half color. So it has about half the amount of color information that the same size image of a display would have on your computer monitor.
Right, because
that's if they were exactly the same pixel ratio.
Right, because a television screen is 720 by 46. So you cut it in half of that,
yes,
and then blow it back up. You take away half the info, and now you can look at like, wow, my pretty detailed picture of a little bug is all like a big blob.
Yes. It's very tricky. It's very tough. So especially with fine detail, really freaks out a TV, because you get a moiré effect, or you just get complete dropout. You take something that was really important to your image, and you just lost it because you put it on TV.
Now, what about TVs? Tell people about the TV deal, because they don't have square pixels on it. And monitor does.
Right. Well, see, actually, gets very complicated, because typically when you output video to a TV, you're using some kind of format like either DV or you're using DVD, and those pixels are basically not square, so they're not exactly as tall as they are wide. They're actually wider than they are tall, and there's another reason for that, because which gets more complicated. We won't go into that yet, but when you look into this type of things, you have to make sure that when you're mixing video and graphics together, that they're all in the same aspect ratio. So if you're doing things in motion, you want to scale your images up to the same resolution. Usually pick one or the other, scale it to 720 by 480 if you're using it in DV, and then drop it in your timeline and take a look at it. That's a good way to go. Or if you want to keep everything square, you'd use 720 by 5, PAL would be 576. I'm blanking on this one.
But a lot of the stuff you can do now in Photoshop, CS has the video stuff built in, so you can select it to do the pixel.
But you got to watch, the key thing to remember to take away from it is watch your detail.
Great. Hey, Brad, thank you very much. That was Brad Wright. Brad will be back in the next hour. We're going to talk about calibration. Make sure your colors are cool. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
What, you platinum-plated nincompoop?
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and this part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by DVD-XDV. If you want the coolest application to be able to grab stuff off a DVD, stick it into iMovie, iDVD, Final Cut Pro, QuickTime, you name it, and they make a ton of great stuff. Go check it out, DVDXDV.com. Right now we're joined by Sam Levin and his Cool Mac Picks. How's it going,
Sammy? Oh, man, What a week of bling bling.
Dude, this OtterBox thing is crazy.
OtterBox.
This is military.
You know, OtterBox is known in the industry for making waterproof, airtight cases, you know, to put everything, your whatever it is, say cigarettes, food, and you're going on a camping trip, whatever. But they have come up with a line of iPod cases that are awesome. And they're called OtterBox iPod waterproof cases. $29 for this shuffle iPod case. It's, I think you could submerge up to 3 or 4 or 5 feet underwater.
I bet you can go to the bottom of a pool with that.
It's
swim around
pretty cool.
Your pool with it on.
That's it comes with a lanyard. You can control the shuffle, all the controls of the shuffle.
Think of this thing like if you're rafting or, you know, in a tube
Everything.
On the river or
dude, whatever it is.
So
for,
cool.
For, if you're going to the beach with your iPod, you've got to get one. It's called OtterBox. That's OtterBox.com. They make a whole line. They support all iPods, second, I think even the first gen, but definitely third gen with the four buttons, fourth gen iPod Photo, U2, Shuffle. This is cool. It's called OtterBox Waterproof iPod Cases. Also, we have Adobe Acrobat or Adobe Acrobat 7.0 Professional. Now, this is a standalone product. It's $449 from Adobe, as we all know, but also it comes with Adobe CS2, which is their Adobe Creative Suite Premium. So if you buy CS2 Premium, you get Adobe Acrobat Professional. Why is this so important? If any of you are doing documents that you need to send, professional documents in business, you've got to have it. Now, we all know you can create PDFs on the Mac. With OS X, it's built in, but you can't edit those PDFs. With Adobe, you edit, you can embed links, you can embed notes. It's really, really amazing what they've done with Adobe 7 Professional. So you've got to check it out. Just go to adobe.com to take a look at it. Next week, we're going to talk about other things that Adobe is doing, their CS2 line. Unbelievable product. Check it out at adobe.com. And also, lastly on our Cool Mac Picks is Griffin Technologies Tune Caps and Silly Skins. Tune Caps essentially is a key ring with a cap protector for your shuffle.
That is very slick.
Inexpensive, $14.95, just shipped. Very, very cool. And their Silly Skins are a line of gels. They come in a 3-pack. It's $19.99. And they're silly, and they're skins, and they're for the shuffle. And then we are starting our Sam's Cool Mac Pick widget. And today we're featuring iPod Scott's classic movies, and he's got a widget called the classic movie widget. Also, it's available on iTunes. So you go to iPod Scott, that's iPodScott.com, download the classic movies widget. You can watch full-length classic movies on your Mac. You've got to have Tiger. You can watch them in iTunes. You know, you can watch movies on iTunes with his podcast, Classic Movie. He is also the creator of Don and Drew's widget, also Sam's Cool Mac Picks. Go up there. You want to download and listen to my segment every week. It's the last segment. It's not the last segment. It's the Cool Mac Picks of every week. You can download that, and soon it will be linked to iTunes, to our link.
Yeah.
So just check
it
out. The
guy makes cool widgets, and you know what's so cool about these old movies is they're like public domain now.
Yep.
So, and you know a lot of stuff, and I heard this interesting on the David Lawrence show the other night, that a lot of music, even like with Nat King Cole and some of this other stuff, it's becoming public domain in Europe because it was recorded in the 50s and they have some different laws. So pretty soon a lot of this stuff's going to go just open wild. You're listening to Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Macworld Magazine. If you want to read all the cool tips about your Mac, Playlist Magazine, all kinds of great stuff, check them out, macworld.com. Right now, we're joined by a good buddy of mine, Vincent Versace. Vincent is a Hollywood photographer. He specializes in digital natural light photography. How are we doing, Vincent?
We're doing great. Your commercials kick me up. You have a career in voiceover.
There we go. not like your photography, though. But hey, Vincent, give our listeners a background. Who is Vincent Versace? What's this whole thing with digital natural light photography and the stuff you're doing with all these cats in Hollywood?
Well, there's a bunch of stuff. Digital natural light is that I use nothing but natural light in my work. Or if I do use strobes on occasion, what I do is I've developed a technique to replicate the way sunlight looks. I like to work with natural light because it's the prettiest, particularly reflected natural light. And as to the cats in Hollywood, I shoot those, do a lot of nature photography, all sorts of stuff, travel all over the world taking pictures.
What kind of client would come to Vincent, to you, to Versace Photography, to have stuff done? Are you doing headshots, complete packages? What's the whole, is it different being doing photography for people in Hollywood and actors and that stuff than just shooting regular portraits? Or how's all this work, Vincent?
Well, it is a lot different. First off, shooting, I shoot lots of nature as well. The nice thing about plants, they don't talk back, which is how I got started shooting flowers.
Yeah?
I do a lot of beta testing for Nikon and Epson and stuff, so I have to have subjects that don't talk back, so actors have a tendency to be vocal. That's where I started with that, but shooting portraits, shooting actors, actors are the richest, most aromatic kind of client. The things that matter to them matter to no other human being on the planet.
What kind of stuff would matter to them more than myself or even you or anybody else?
I've had conversations about how the forward frontal placement of their teeth, well, quite frankly, make them look bucky, and their children are going for 14 and a half, but I'm making them look 15 and a quarter, and their kids are 17 years old.
Okay, so the best thing to do is run from Hollywood.
Run.
It's non-reality. That's what you're saying, is it's not reality.
Well, more real than real.
So are these people looking to have pictures done in huge amounts of Photoshop work to make them perfect? Or do you try to do stuff when you actually have to deal with these people and try to just shoot at the best angle you can to get at what they want?
Well, let's see. If deities could do what I could do in the computer, they would all be lucky men and women. You know, it's a reality. What I always get a kick out of is no matter what picture I take and they look at and they pick, and then when I give them the final photograph, because I do all my own retouching work,
mm-hmm.
And I hand it to them, and they look at it. They always go, yeah, that's the way I look.
Yeah, right.
And you sit there, and you're going, wow.
Yeah, I just spent 15 hours in this thing in Photoshop, and you look like that, right?
Right, it's like fluorinated water must be the key. It just, I always get a kick out of it. I've never once seen a actor or a model ever say to me, wow, you did something in Photoshop. Of course, that's the whole goal state of doing work in Photoshop. You want to make it so that when people look at your pictures, the following events occur. First thing they do is they look at it and they go, how come my pictures don't look like that? You go, well, I don't know. Next thing they say to you is like, you're the luckiest photographer in the world. So you get to go, guess I am. And keeping in mind that I've been a digital photographer for 15 years and I'm a beta site for Photoshop, right? And
right.
I've been working in Photoshop since version one and believe that film is what occurs on your teeth when you don't brush.
Uh-huh.
My favorite thing is when people say, did you do something in Photoshop? To which, if you ask me that question, you deserve to be lied to straight to your face, to which my response always is, why no?
No, I shot it that way.
Exactly. It happened exactly that way in the camera.
And you're photogenic.
Yes.
That's right. You're perfect. Absolutely. And like with my nature, too. It's like I don't really think I'm a photographer, per se. I think I make the best way to describe what I do.
Vincent, tell us what your preferred gear is. Now, you do a lot of work with Nikon. I'm shooting you. What are you shooting with? What kind of lenses? What are you using for gear?
D2X, which is the camera I've been waiting 15 years for. That's an absolute dream of a camera to shoot with. The lenses I use are, I use a 70 to 210 VR, a 24 to 120 VR, a 14 millimeter rectilinear, a close-up diopter so that I can do macro work, and a 2X extender, and that's pretty much what I carry, and a 35 millimeter PC correcting lens if I do panorama, and that's pretty much all the gear I carry. I use Lexar cards, 8 gig cards, which are great.
Yeah.
The file sizes are huge.
Now, when you do your stuff in Photoshop, a lot of people are like Photoshop purists and they don't like plugins. Do you use just raw Photoshop or is there some other additional stuff you like to use with Photoshop that enhances your workflow?
Fancy, you should ask that question. Yes, I do. I use the Nik Sharpener and the Nik Color Effects Pro Suite. 2.0 for Sharpener is great because you can sharpen by color, which I think is absolutely astounding that you can do that. It's profound, the way in which it works. And then Color Effects Pro I use to enhance my images and to take out color cast and stuff. I'm a big believer of automation. It's like, rumor has it I'm supposed to know a thing or two about Photoshop, but I can tell you it's really about getting away from the computer. I mean, the computer is the adult video game. Make no mistake about that. I mean, all the quarters we spent as a kid playing Missile Command, it's the computer that we're doing them now. But I'd rather be out taking pictures, which is where the money is for me, than sitting behind the computer and working. So
yeah,
if I can find automation, I'm going to go that route.
Vincent, speaking of computers, the question I have is it gotten a lot simpler or easier? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's come out with the addition of, you know, the CS2 and all that stuff and just, you know, blurring and effects. And is it better? Is it faster? Or is there more to do now?
Yes.
Well, yes to everything, or is it better?
Everything. It's like the more things change, the more they remain the same.
Okay.
The more paradigm shifting we get, the more new paradigms are. It's the issue right now, I think, is we need to come up with a camera operating system versus a regular operating system. That we are creating things now that we can say, for lack of a better word, are digital originals, which is, from content creation to output, the entire flow is digital. About 3 to 5 years ago, that wasn't necessarily true. You could actually have a life without a computer. I mean, if you were to take a computer out of people's lives, the greatest impact it would have for the vast majority of them is word processing would be a bit of a pain. And
sure,
you'd have to lick a stamp and write a letter. But now, what's occurring with PDFs for taxes and for digital images that are being shot is that all content starts out digitally. So now we have this big groundswell of digital originals. And by, I think it's some marketing study I read, by February 2006, 100 million people will have purchased digital cameras, which basically means there are 100 million people that have a whole bunch of problems that they didn't know they had.
Vincent, you teach 250, 300 days a year. You're on the road. You're everywhere. You're in all these different countries. You're going to be teaching here at Photoshop World coming up here in Boston.
I am. I'm
in about a month. What are you going to talk about? Where can people find you besides if they can't make it to Photoshop? I know you do tours for, you do training for Nikon, you do stuff for Epson, a lot of stuff. Where can people find Vincent? Where are you going to be here?
Well, you can go to my website, which is, can I plug that?
Sure, of course.
Okay, VersaceFotography.com. I'm putting together a 6-DVD set based on the approach that I take to working with images, which most of it should be out by January, if not all of it. Got a book coming out, rumor has it, sometime Q1 of next year. And how you get a hold of me is just check on engagements. I do the Digital Landscape Workshop series with Moose Peterson. I teach at Santa Fe. I teach at Palm Beach Photographic. And I host the Epson Print Academy, which I'll be doing again this year.
Oh, very good. And, of course, you're going to be at Photoshop World, so we're going to check that out. Give us a couple tips here. If you were going to tell someone they have a digital camera, what's your top one or two tips on using the deal or framing or shooting? What's your chief takeaway for today?
Chief takeaway for today are a couple of thoughts. Okay, first thought to think about is to approach RGB not as a color, but as a formula to mix color. We frequently just refer to it like, well, what are you working in? I'm working in Adobe RGB. What color is your car? Adobe RGB. It's like RGB is a formula, and you have to understand that what you're doing is you're invoking that formula. Second thing, which is kind of lofty, but it's the principle of the way in which I work, is the first thought is think about when you're working with images that shape and color don't necessarily have a happy relationship with each other, that shape is the enemy of color. That means that when shape is in the presence of color, what will happen is you'll remember the shapes but not the colors. The other thing to keep in mind is that a pattern is interesting, but a pattern interrupted is way more interesting. And the key to playing those two is to figure out ways in which to use shape as the unwitting ally of color.
Vincent, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I will see you on Monday.
Looking forward to it, bud. Looking forward to
it. Yep. My buddy Vincent Versace, definitely check out his site, VersacePhotography.com.
Thanks, Vincent.
This guy is an incredible instructor. If you can see him anywhere, you really need to go see him. It's just an inspiration. This guy rocks. Check him out. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Dr. Mac Direct is a brand new service that offers troubleshooting, training, and technical support to Mac users. Dr. Mac Direct's expert technicians resolve your Mac problems quickly, painlessly, and inexpensively. Dr. Mac Direct on the web at www.drmacdirect.com or call toll free 877-DR-MAC-4U. My name is Bob Dr. Mac Levitis, and I approved, wrote, and produced this message.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, the leading industry source for digital imaging and Photoshop World. Coming up here into September, you can still save $100 on registration if you go to photoshopworld.com. Also, we're going to be doing some more giveaways here in the second hour. We've got some great stuff from Lowepro, their Noble One AW carry case, some great stuff from MC Technologies, fold-up speakers, stuff for your iPod, great stuff. You can check it out at lowepro.com and MCE Tech, and we'll talk about that in the next hour, what we're going to give away and what you have to do to win free prizes today on the Inside Mac radio program.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, Laura is on the phone from a remote Tibetan location talking about her segment coming up here in the next hour. How are we doing, Laura?
Hey, guys. Long time no see.
Yeah, how's vacation been? Are you relaxing? You having
great.
Any fun?
I'm here in San Diego right now. I'm going to a music festival called Street Scene.
Wow.
So first night was last night. I saw Black Eyed Peas, Garbage, The Killers. I lost a toenail. I was in a crowd, and I got trampled in a mob.
You saw Garbage? Because I see Garbage every day. Wow. That's
yeah,
unique.
You know, for the people who might be a little older than Garbage's demographic, like Sam,
yeah.
It's actually a band.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But Black Eyed Peas must have been cool, huh?
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're very cool. You know, they're very very Mac-friendly band.
Yeah.
Put on a great show, but today I've actually spent shopping looking for steel-toed boots to wear tonight.
There you go. You
I
need
tell
some
you,
square,
it was not pretty.
Square-toe biker boots with a buckle on the side.
I had to cut my toenail off with a pair of scissors. It was like dangling
nice.
By a piece of skin.
Oh. Nice. Hey, speaking of Black Eyed Peas, did you get retarded? You know the song?
You know, that's a personal question.
Hey, man, that's their best song.
Hey,
started.
Sam's retarded. We know that.
Let's
I'm looking at him
retarded.
Right now, and he's drooling.
Let's get retarded, yeah.
So tonight's cool. It's going to be like a Mixmaster Mike and the Used Dashboard Confessional and the Pixie, so I'm excited for that. But as you guys know, earlier this week, I was up in Northern California on the coastline talking to a marine biologist who tracks a lot of marine life and also goes out in the communities down in Mexico and shows people how to use technology to kind of spread the word about being environmentally friendly. And this guy does everything on Macs and iChat and things like that. So in the next hour, we're going to have my report on that, and it's some pretty interesting stuff. I think it's refreshing to talk to somebody who isn't in the tech industry per se, but still uses the technology on the day-to-day basis to help them with their job.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great deal. This is Wallace Nicholas. This is Ocean Revolution. I look very much forward to this, too, and we definitely look forward to you coming back next week.
Thank you. Well, if I don't lose any appendages, I will be back next Saturday.
Go down to the Army Surplus Store, because remember, you got all the boot camped out there from
and
Pendleton's up the freeway a little bit, so you can probably get yourself a flak jacket, some boots, grab a stick, and just get after it.
M50.
Yeah, it's not really my style, though. I actually picked up some steel-toe boots at Nordstrom, of all places.
Really?
So I'm gonna get the kind of clunky look going on, which, you know, is not as cute as little open-toed sandals, but considering my toes aren't very cute right now, it's probably the best bet.
How sassy, though. A nice little mini skirt with a big pair of biker boots. You can't get any better.
That's what I got going on, man.
Cool. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks, guys.
We look forward to your report. We'll see you next week. Have fun in San Diego. That's great. All those guys, Black Eyed Peas. And
awesome. I love Black Eyed Peas.
They
Let's
are cool,
get
man.
Retarded. That's a great song. Their new album rocks.
Yeah.
They're just hot. They're, I guess
you know
they're
what's
all
cool
out
is
Hollywood.
Their new video, their first video from the new album was very cool because Apple shot that right before NAB.
Which
they did it in Hollywood.
Their new one?
Yeah, Don't Whatever With My Heart, whatever it
don't
is.
Don't Funk With My Heart.
Right, okay, and they shot this before NAB.
Right.
And then Apple used the demo at NAB for the new Final Cut Pro 5 with a multicam, and they laid up like 7 different shots of this new video going on, and they could just drag clips to the timeline, and it was that band, Black Eyed Peas, with this new song, and it was so cool.
They're on iTunes, by the way. You can
get
it right now.
I bought that song.
Don't Funk With My Heart.
No.
Tell my wife.
There's another one that Ken turned me on to the other day, the one from Cake. The remix of Gloria Gaynor's song. That's a great song.
Short skirt, long jacket. That is a great Cake song.
Yeah, but the Cake deal is good. I mean, it's good stuff. So check that out. I don't know. It's just Cake. Look in iTunes. And what's the name of the song? I forgot.
I Will Survive.
I Will Survive, but it's a great remix. Beautiful trumpet work at the end. Not as good as Maynard Ferguson, but it rocks. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Listen to the digital production buzz of what is happening now and in the future. Production. Post-production. Distribution.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Digital production buzz. Live 6 p.m. Pacific Thursdays. DigitalProductionBuzz.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, from the world of Panther to digital photography to David Pogue, the New York Times, all kinds of great stuff. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Layers Magazine, the place for everything Adobe. Check them out, layersmagazine.com. This is hour two of the Inside Mac program. We've had a great show so far. In the first hour, we had the best news in the Mac business with Ken Ray. Sam was on doing his cool Mac picks.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Wright was with us talking about photographs and broadcast TV and what's the difference between a photograph and how you should size them and check them for color and putting those things in the iMovie or something you're going to see on TV. We had the legendary Vincent Versace, Hollywood photographer, Smithsonian laureate. This cat rocks, so you can check him out, Versace Photography.
Beautiful photography.
Oh, he does natural light stuff. He doesn't use any lighting hardly at all. I mean, it's very cool stuff. This hour, we have a great report from Laura Burstein with Wallace Nicholas, the co-director of Ocean Revolution, talking about using their Macs with oceanography and some great stuff there. Brad's going to join us again. We're going to talk about calibration techniques for your television and your monitor or monitor because, you know, when you look at stuff and you're doing stuff in iMovie or iDVD or Final Cut and you look at it on your computer screen, it's not the same as on a TV. And if you don't have a lot of money for a big breakout box and, you know, an actual professional monitor like a Sony Broadcast calibrated monitor that has like Blu-ray guns inside of it and all this other stuff, you need to know how to do this on your computer so it actually looks good. You know, when you send the movie to your grandma, and it's not all weird and weird colors, and it looks like the spaceship dudes are in. So you can check that out. Philip Hodge is going to join us, digital production buzzmeister. We're going to be live next week at Seagraph 2005 from the AJA video booth. We'll talk about what we're doing there. There's going to be some pre-announcements for Seagraph. And then, of course,
I'll be at Open Source Conference. That's the O'Reilly OzCon in Portland, talking to Tim O'Reilly and the folks at Open Source.
Right, you got all the open source cats hanging out with shorts on, sandals, just sharing the love, free software. It's going to be a beautiful thing in Portland. Portland's a great time of year right now. It's going to be a little warm. All the roses will be out in bloom. It's a beautiful city, so you can check that out. And, of course, later in the hour, our feature guest, David Pogue from the New York Times. I want to ask David, did he have fun with Martha Stewart? Was that fun going to Connecticut, doing the gigs with Martha?
And baking cookies.
Making chutney.
Chutney and PDA. Chutney and PDAs.
Yeah, he used to do all the stuff with Marshall. That's great. He's got a brand new book out, the
Missing
Revolution
Manual.
Of the Missing Manual from Echo
for
Tiger. It's actually like the missing phone book.
Where'd
my phone book go?
839 pages, but I tell you, he's a great writer, and if you want to know anything about Tiger, and this is written for people that are not nerds, normal people like you and me, Scott, you would still get a lot out of this book.
It's a great book. You know, the problem is, I had to find the time to even read it.
I read about a quarter of it. It was so easy to read. It's great. We're going to talk to him about that and New York Times. He's the circuit's technology guy. So every week he's on, and he's got a podcast he just started. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah. So David's cool. He's going to be joining us. David's been hiding from me for years.
Not anymore.
Every time I went to interview David, I do deals at O'Reilly. Yeah, here, we'll find David. Oh, he already left.
I did a
Digital Lifestyle Expo in Long Beach. Oh, dude, I got to go. Everywhere I go, the cat runs.
Hey, by the way, Griffin just announced the IFM. Record FM, listen to FM on your iPod.
That thing is so cool.
And it's a remote.
Dude, it's cool. It's this little silver box. LCD.
In 1 month, we'll have it.
Really?
1 month.
We talked about earlier this week, they updated the version. They got a new widget and new software for
Radio Shark.
That's way cool.
Yeah, and you can record to that to iTunes.
Yeah.
But this is portable for your iPod, you know? Now we can record FM, and that's pretty cool. And listen to FM.
It is cool stuff. So, hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Coming up next, Wallace J. Nicholas with Laura Burstein, co-director of Ocean Revolutions, talking about how he uses his Macintosh in their oceanography work. Later in the hour, Brad Wright, digital production buzzmeister Philip Hodges, and David Pogue from the New York Times. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Hey, have you seen the latest issue of Macworld?
Not yet, but it might be in my mailbox today.
Wait till you see it. It's got the best reviews on those hot new products you've been raving about. I just love looking at all the new stuff. Sometimes I wish Macworld came twice a month.
You know, you can always find the latest stuff on their websites. That's what I do when I can't wait. Just go to Macworld.com.
Oh yeah, I gotta remember that. Macworld.com has all the latest reviews, plus archived product info from back issues. That way, I can get my Mac fixed when I need it.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can also compare the current prices on Macworld Product Finder and find out the latest Mac news at maccentral.com. They've got enough to satisfy even the most avid Mac lover.
www.macworld.com. Find everything you need to know and more right now.
To coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Dr. Mac Direct. If your Mac's broken and you can't fix it, check them out, drmacdirect.com. This week, Laura Burstein had a special interview with one Mac user and how he's using his technology to make a difference for the environment and his community.
Here in Pescadero on the Northern California coastline between Santa Cruz and Half Moon Bay, the quiet beaches and long stretches of highway without a building in sight may not look like a hotbed for technology. But do a little digging and you'll find this area is home to many advocates who use the latest cutting-edge hardware and software to help save the planet. Wallace J. Nicholas, or Jay as he's widely known, is a marine biologist and co-director of Ocean Revolution, an organization aimed at helping young people share their experiences with the ocean and help them learn about and conserve marine life.
The idea is that kids can, after they have some great experience with the ocean, whether it's surfing or diving or some kind of camp or even a class in marine biology, they can go onto the website and create their own profile and put their, you know, their name and their contact info, as well as photos, events. They create a blog. So that's a part of this, building this network. And yearly kids all over the world can participate in it. It's a Plone-based site, so the content management system is Plone, which is open source. So the kids that are even a little more tech savvy can start to even tweak the system because it's open source and bring different modules in. So that's kind of the idea. But the overall idea is that kids can find each other, they can find mentors, and they can find information and new opportunities.
This Friendster for the Ocean uses familiar technology like blogs and online networking to open the door to discussions about the sea and its creatures.
The goal of Ocean Revolution is to build a kind of a global community of young people and adult mentors that can work towards creating a movement to protect the ocean. Young people really understand the idea of networks. They understand the idea of sharing. They understand the idea of collaboration because they've grown up with the internet. They've grown up with being connected, iChat, and being always kind of sharing what their ideas, sharing their photos, creating blogs and things like that. So, young people are really receptive to this idea of collaborating for something bigger, a common cause.
And of course, Jay and his team couldn't keep it running without their Macs.
The whole Ocean Revolution team is on Macs, mostly PowerBooks. So I'm on a 12-inch PowerBook that I use because I like the small size and I'm traveling a lot in the field and giving talks. Some of my colleagues have big ones, the 17-inch, because they do more video editing. And we use this equipment kind of constantly for every aspect of the work, sharing images, iPhoto, using iMovie to create little documentaries, to upload them real quick to the internet. The kids that we work with actually take the video footage and edit the documentaries on their laptops.
Jay spent the past decade studying sea turtles. He spends much of his time in Mexico, where he helps educate locals about environmentally friendly fishing. Turtle poaching is attractive to many coast dwellers in Mexico because it helps supplement their often very low income. But thanks to Dr. Nichols and his team of educators, the communities are learning the benefits of turtle conservation and sustainable fishing. And turtle nappers turned turtle savers can share their stories with others using just a few simple tools.
We work with fishermen in Mexico, and we work together with them to create movies about them saving sea turtles. And then we'll create those on the laptops, and we'll project the movies that we make that night in the community, and have kind of movie night, and people from all over the town will come and see what these guys are doing to protect sea turtles, and just putting the power of image editing in the hands of people who really, some of them have never really used computers before, but we sit down with them and pull up iMovie and really get things going, and it's so intuitive that they can just sort of get the idea that they can take a chunk of video and move it over and edit a scene, or delete a part that they don't like, or add some sound just by kind of clicking and moving things around. And to see Mexican fishermen go from guys that are accidentally killing sea turtles to guys that are saving sea turtles, and then telling their story through kind of cutting edge technology, this is really cool.
When asked why poachers would give up income to reform and become local movie stars, Jay says the answer is simple.
It's fun. That's the other thing. We're working in these small towns where there's not a lot going on sometimes. And when you've got some fun stuff going on with catching sea turtles and putting transmitters on them, then tracking them online, sharing the data, and then making a documentary about it and projecting it on the plaza, well, that's pretty exciting stuff. That's exciting stuff for me. And in a small town of, say, 500 or 1,000 people, that's like, the coolest thing to come through in a while.
Jay also carries a microphone that attaches straight to his iPod to record interviews with local residents. He's even started turning some of them into public service announcements for sea turtle protection. The PSAs air on local radio stations in Mexico and are made entirely with Macs.
Ay, comadre, fíjese que la red de mi compadre Prieto cayeron 40 caguamas.
40? Si un solo pescador saca 40, ¿cuántas caerán en las redes de todos los pescadores?
Even when the team is away from Mexico, Jay's Mac helps him keep in touch with the people in the community without paying outlandish phone bills.
Fishermen in these little towns have internet access, and then they get a screen name, and then instead of spending money on long-distance telephone, we communicate through, you know, instant messaging or, you know, iChat with voice, and even in some cases hook up our little, you know, eyesights, and we can have video conferences. And even if the community only has one internet connection and one computer, it's still shared, and it's a way to communicate to these places that before we were kind of stuck, you know, spending a dollar a minute for our telephone.
In a world where technology can sometimes be the cause of Earth's problems, Jay and Ocean Revolution prove that tech can also be the solution. But there's still more to be done.
We can always do better as far as the materials we use and what we do with them when we're done. So recycling things, whether it's ink cartridges or batteries, and finding the best way to get rid of them. That's like the big downside of technology, obviously. The upside is that, you know, we're learning more about the ocean, for example, than ever before possible. I mean, the combination of technology and integration of disciplines. So, you know, this idea that the biology department talks to the computer science department, and they also talk to the anthropology department, and then they work together. You know, that integration, the ability for researchers on opposite sides of the world to communicate daily, is creating sort of a revolution in our understanding of what's going on in the ocean.
For Inside Mac Radio, I'm Laura Burstein.
Laura, that was a great deal. That is so cool. They can use all this technology to help out the whole deal with the fishing deal and the oceanography, and this is great stuff. I mean, that was a very good interview. That was Laura Burstein. Good stuff. That was Wallace J. Nicholas, co-director of Ocean Revolutions. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up, Brad White. We're going to talk about calibration techniques for your television, or if you have a monitor. Either way, you're going to learn more about digital post-production and how to make your stuff in iMovie and everything else great. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Informal. Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Mac Update. If you need to get updates to your software on your Macintosh fast, efficient, you don't want a bunch of ads, you don't have to click through 14 pages to get to the download, check it out, MacUpdate.com. We're joined again by our buddy Brad Wright, and we're talking right now about calibration techniques on, let's say I do this cool little movie in Final Cut, Final Cut Express, iMovie. I need to check this thing for color and what this looks like, but all I got's my computer, and I don't have one of these $1,500 Sony broadcast monitors with a blue gun in it to do all. What do I do, Brad? What's up?
Well, the best thing that you can do is you really want to get your video, before you do any color adjustments, you really want to get it to a television monitor because, and like as we talked earlier about how the TV was basically inferior in resolution to your laptop or your LCD display, it actually reverses itself when you talk about things like video, because video is much better looking when it goes out to a television. I mean, that's essentially the broadcast standard. A calibrated CRT monitor is what people really see. And there's a lot more color, we'd say contrast, in your TV than there is on your LCD monitor, your laptop display.
Right.
So you want, if you don't only have the laptop display, the things that you really want to do is go in and, if you only have that, is go out and calibrate your monitor. One of the easiest ways to do it is just to go into your control panel and go into where it says displays. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say control panel. See, I'm still thinking in Windows, but your system settings, effectively, system preferences. Go in and set up your, go to your display and click on color.
In that setting, let me follow this. Essentially, in the monitor display and under displays, make sure I get this right. Click on your color tab, and over there on that color tab, you will see a button that says calibrate. Now that is a great tool to have built right into your Macintosh right there, because now you can go through a couple of series of steps that it'll walk you through, and you'll make adjustments. And when you get done with all these adjustments, your LCD display will be calibrated.
Now, is there a specific profile you need to do if you're trying to match stuff that's on TV, or do I need to get one of these little pucky things that stick on the screen? Or?
No, those are very good, but those little pucky things, there's one that's called a spider, which is actually very good. If you don't want to go through these steps of calibrating, you can spend about $200, plug in your USB port, stick it in your monitor, and calibrate that.
Automatic, because it goes through and makes its own through.
It makes a couple of, I guess it's not completely automatic, you got to do a few things, but it makes it a lot easier. And in fact, what happens is that people don't realize is that the way an LCD display works is it is a fluorescent light that shines through eventually the substrate and makes the color. So it's basically like a lens, a fluorescent light shining through a lens. And a fluorescent bulb will fade over time and change color. And so you've got to calibrate that thing make sure it's true. Otherwise, your colors will never be right. You'll be making adjustments and never get them right.
I've noticed that on my 23-inch cinema display.
Oh, yeah.
The new aluminum one.
Yep.
There's color variations on the outside corners.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess that's just the nature of a big LCD screen.
It could also be the viewing angle. It's hard to say. It could be the.
I do have it sitting off at an angle to my.
Yeah, it'll be the viewing angle, because they do change as far as when you look at them left to right, up and down. They'll change a little bit in color. So LCD displays are really tricky. If you really want to do major color adjustment, calibrate your video display. Calibrate your TV. Use a CRT-based TV if you can, because most LCD-based TVs just don't have the dynamic range.
Now, what can I do if I'm low budget? We got about 30 seconds here. Mm-hmm. We're low budget. I need to get video out of my Mac from iMovie onto a TV set so I can look at it. Can you buy like a cheap little adapter so I can get it out?
Yeah, there's a couple of little adapters for about $200 on the market
that
you can use. Look around for them. They're just FireWire adapters.
I know. I remember one. ADS Technologies has a very cool one, and it's less than $200.
It's less than $200.
We had them on before. Remember we had... The guy's on.
ADSTech.com or something
like that. Yes, ADSTech.com. You can get something for $150.
That's a great tool to take with you on the road.
It is.
Yeah.
Brad, thank you very much. That was Brad Wright.
Thanks, Brad.
We're listening to Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the digital production buzzmeister of Philip Hodges, the digital production buzz show. Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time, you can check it out, digitalproductionbuzz.com. And of course, right now, who else? Philip Hodges, our digital production buzzmeister. How are we doing, Philip?
We've had a really busy week this week with the news, Scott. A lot's been happening ahead of SIGGRAPH next week. And, of course, we're going to be out of the studio and into the SIGGRAPH exhibition with the Inside Mac Radio digital production buzz shows.
Yeah, we're going to be live from the AJA booth. Myself, Scott Shepard, and Philip Hodges, we're going to be doing a combined gig every day from 2 to 3 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, from the beautiful Los Angeles Convention Center in beautiful, smoggy downtown Los Angeles.
Oh, it's a beautiful area of town. Don't say that.
Oh, it is. It is nice. It really is. You know, you don't even need an AK-47 anymore. It's pretty safe to walk across the street to the Staples Center. So
yeah, three whole blocks before you need the AK-47. I'm just kidding. I'm going to be killed by the Los Angeles Tourist Bureau now. Anyway, ahead of SIGGRAPH, we've got a couple of announcements. Silhouette FX, companies that's formed by the Profound FX guys and some industry specialists like Marco Paolini of Digital Filmworks, have released two things. They've updated their Silhouette Roto, a great rotoscoping tool if you need to get, tediously remove somebody from their background. Silhouette Radio is the tool. Version 2 adds a whole lot of new features like high bit depth. That's what it does. And layers and some tracking technology. And then they're going to do paint, so you can do non-destructive paint onto your video.
Wow. That'll be fun stuff there.
Exactly. And, of course, Flip for Mac, the people who do all of the different integration with Windows Media and MXF, have said the MXF component that used to only work with Final Cut Pro 5 now works with Final Cut Pro 4.5 HD as well.
Really?
And that's pretty cool. I thought that was only ever going to work with 5. And Pete Kavilowitz's Revision have updated Revision Effects Reflex to 3. So Revision's Reflex, something that had a horrible name to type, but it's a great product. It's a morphing and warping tool, and it fits into Adobe After Effects, Shape, Autodesk Discrete, and Combustion 4.
I wonder if we'll see anything announced, Philip, at SIGGRAPH. I mean, you have all these companies there that make some of the software, but if people haven't been before, you have a lot of these companies like Industrial Light and Magic, Pixar, Disney, and these other guys that are recruiting people for animation, and there's a lot of schools there that are recruiting people to come to school to learn how to do this stuff. So you think we'll see anything new?
I'm not sure if we'll see anything new, but they have great swag.
You know something they do. Dude, I have an extra room in my suitcase for like an extra 10 pounds because they give away cool stuff at SIGGRAPH.
They do indeed. Hey, another important thing that happened this week was that the movie studios agreed on a digital distribution standard.
What would this be? They decided on a high definition, like a Blu-ray thingy, or which?
No, this is for actual digital projection in your local multiplex.
Oh,
so that instead of having a whole range of different standards, they're all going to agree, and when the cinema owners only have to put in one standard, and everybody's compression will match, everybody's screen ratios will match, the distribution methods will match, so that they only have to put in $150,000 investment instead of everybody's different standards. Of course, there's still argument as to who's going to pay, because the studios get the benefits, but the cinema owners have to pay the costs.
Now, what are they to stand? Are they going with an H.264 type digital compression standard, or they're going to go with an MPEG-2, or what was actually decided here?
I didn't look at the exact details of the decision because I don't own a cinema or a Hollywood studio.
Oh well, you know, maybe someday. You know, it'd be cool to own a studio. You go out there and sell popcorn for $10 a bucket, and Coke for $6. We can make a lot of money. And we can still do the radio programs. That would be fun. We need to find an old, broken-down studio somewhere like in Indiana and make it all digital.
Hey, be careful. That's where I'm from.
Oh, we won't say anything about Indiana.
Terre Haute, John Cougar.
Yeah? I have a buddy that lives in Val Pasuezo. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. Thanks, Philip. We'll be right back.
Vegas. We don't need no stinking Vegas. The Reno Tahoe Entertainment Report.
Hi, this is Don with the Reno Lake Tahoe Entertainment Report podcast. If it has to do with the entertainment scene in the Reno Lake Tahoe area, this is the only place you need to check. RenoTahoeShows.info. But if it has to do with the Mac, the only place you need to stop is Inside Mac Radio. InsideMacRadio.com. A lighthearted look at everything Mac.
Inside your life,
business, your home,
inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by OSXFAQ.com. If you want the best place to go for Mac OS X tips, tricks, Unix, design tips, stuff for Photoshop, all your news, everything you need, one place, once a day, OSXFAQ.com.
We're here today with David Pogue. He's the well-known columnist for New York Times Technology Circuits section every week. He's on your screen. He's on your Mac. He is the author for the Missing Manual series. That's Pogue Press, which is part of O'Reilly. He is a well-known raconteur in the technology sector of today and for the last 20-some-odd years.
He plays pretty good piano, too.
He is a keyboard guy, and he knows Martha Stewart, and I believe he eats some of her brownies, too.
I don't know.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
Hello, David. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
First question for you that I want to get out of the way. How is it working with Martha Stewart on the media, doing the TV shows with her and all that kind of stuff?
Well, the TV show, as you may know, is no longer on the air. So,
no, but you used to be on there all the time. We used to watch you sitting in a little Hutch deal working on her Windows box.
That's And it's so funny how it gradually went from, you know, from 9 a.m. On a network TV to 3 a.m. on a cable network, and then disappeared entirely.
It's infomercials now.
But you never know. I bet you pretty soon she's going to be back. You can't count Martha out. She was probably pretty nice to work with, yeah?
She was perfectly courteous to me. I haven't always heard the most wonderful stories about how she treated her staff, but you have better sources than I to talk about that.
Well, let's talk about, you know, everyone knows you from the section of the New York Times, which is the circuits and technology section. You're well known with that, and you just wrote about podcasting and some other cool things, but you're here really to talk about the Missing Manual Tiger Edition, which is the O'Reilly book, part of Pogue Press, correct?
Right.
And, you know, it's 839 pages. I read about a third of it already. It's pretty amazing how big this book is, and it covers virtually everything under the sun.
It's funny you should mention that, because honestly, I was really conflicted about this length thing. Because the truth is, if your book is thick, not as many people buy it. It's as simple as that. People are scared away by it. But on the other hand, you know, the book's mission is supposed to be, as it says on the cover, the book that should have been in the box. So am I really going to cut good material that could help someone just to make the page count low? It just didn't seem right, especially when O'Reilly said that they weren't going to raise the price, even though this new edition is 100 pages longer than the last one.
But so, if you're a Mac person, or if you're dedicated, you're into this, you want to learn more, it's not a big deal, and it really isn't. I'm really glad that it's big, because it offers so many tips. Automator, there are a lot of things that there's no way you could have covered in 600 or 700 pages, I don't think.
Yeah. We decided to just go, you know, do what the book's mission is and let the chips fall where they may. And it's a very funny story. The book, as you may know, is the best-selling MacBook, and on most reporting periods, it actually outsells the Windows books as well. So normally, when you do a computer book, you're like really excited if it sells maybe 8,000 copies over its lifetime. The first printing of this book was 70,000 copies. So this is my favorite story about the whole thing. A couple weeks before it went to press, I got a call from the printing plant in Michigan, and they said, "Are you going to be on time with your manuscript?" And I'm like, "Well, I think so. What's the big deal if it's a day or two late?" And they're like, "I don't think you understand how much paper 70,000 copies require. We don't have storage facilities at our plant to hold that much paper overnight. The trucks are going to pull up in our loading dock, and we're going to be hauling those reams straight onto the press." And so, if you're going to be even a day late with this, you better hope it doesn't rain.
Wow.
That's a lot of books.
The pressure was on.
That's fantastic. And I love the fact that the last page, and by the way, it's on the inside back cover. It says, "Missing manual, there's no CD-ROM. You just save $5. And
that's absolutely right. Yeah,
it's true.
I was told that if you add a CD to the back of the book, like a lot of books have, it costs the publisher 20 cents more. But it cost the book buyer $5 more, and I couldn't swallow that.
Well, it's probably shipping, handling. I don't know. I have no idea why. Maybe they'll put it on, you know, SD or something.
But I mean, honestly, you show me a Mac person who doesn't have an internet connection and couldn't download. So what we do is we do the missing CD-ROM. We put this website up with every piece of shareware and freeware, every utility mentioned in the book, in a neat little list in chapter order. So, you know, if there's really someone out there who has Tiger but not an internet connection, heck, I'll mail them a CD.
I'm on the website now. Hey, listen, David, what are you so excited about besides that, you know, you get to cry to the bank because of your you know, the big book here, but what are you really excited about with Tiger? You know, there's so many cool things. I know Automator is a great scripting and macro tool, but what really do you love?
Well, I mean, everyone knows about Spotlight. I use that all the time. Everybody knows about Dashboard. I use that all the time, although not everybody knows about some of the modules that you can add on. I'm totally into the TiVo one and the local movie theater one and the gas prices one. These are all add-ons for Dashboard. But there's two features that Apple doesn't even mention that I think are just so cool. And one is this thing when you bought something online or you just booked a plane ticket on Travelocity and it says, "Print this page for your records." instead of wasting paper and ink and then having trouble finding that page later if the order doesn't come through, you can go to the file menu, hit print, and then there's a little button in the lower left that pops up with a choice called save as a web receipt or save PDF into web receipts folder. And all it does is it takes that save this for your records page and creates a tidy little PDF of it and stores it into a new folder called web receipts in your home folder, which you can pull up later instantly using Spotlight or you can open up.
Well, I read that. I just read that in, it's like, I just read it in the book. What is this? Where do I find this? How do I, in the print command?
Yeah, you go up and you hit print. And
right.
And in the print dialog box in the lower left, there's a button with a pop-up button called PDF.
Got it.
And one of the choices in there is save as web receipt. And it's just such a, it took some programmer 3 seconds to do, but I use it all the time. And the other really cool thing is Automator, I must say, I'll admit that I had a guest genius write that chapter because I'm not a programmer. But I have learned one thing that's totally, totally cool. If you go into Automator and you create a macro of these two steps, get Finder items and create new mail message. That's it. You can save that in the file menu as what they call a plugin, which means it's going to add to the contextual menus in the Finder. So now when you right-click or control-click any icon in the Finder, you have a new choice from the shortcut menu called Send Mail. And what this does is what you can do in Windows that I've always been jealous of. You click an icon and send it as an email attachment all right from the desktop without having to open up a new piece of mail and click the attachment button and all that.
Awesome.
Stuff.
David, with you being the technology columnist with the Times, you run across a lot of stuff that's besides Macintosh, everything that's technology. What is the thing that has you the most excited about something new, some new technology, something you've seen or reviewed? What is the coolest thing that David's put his hands on here recently?
Or you think that's coming out like the video iPod.
Right.
Seriously. Yeah, I don't know. I agree with what Steve Jobs said before. It's just not anywhere near as useful an invention as the original iPod because you have to be paying attention to it, you know? I don't care if my surgeon or my bus driver is listening to the iPod while he works, but I would not want him watching, you know, The Matrix while he works.
And by the way, I heard they're the same. Your surgeon and bus driver are the same, so be careful.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, really.
But you know what I just got today to review that I think is really cool and clever? When you have a digital camera, you got two ways to transfer the pictures to the computer, right? You can hook it up straight to the camera via USB cable, which I don't like to do because it uses up so much of the camera's battery power, and sometimes you don't even have enough to do that. And the other thing is to buy a card reader,
right,
which saves you the battery power, but it's something else to haul around and lose and remember, and I actually have lost one. So SanDisk just came out with the most amazing idea. It is a memory card that itself plugs directly into your USB socket. So in other words, you take this SD card out of the camera, you literally fold it in half. It's hinged. The camera can't tell it apart from a regular card. But when you take it out, it folds in half, revealing these contacts that slide right into your USB jack on your computer without any card reader or any cables at all.
I saw this. They shipped it about a month ago, I think.
David, we have 30 seconds. How can people find out more information about your column, your books, all the stuff you're up to?
Oh, sure. It's all linked from my webpage, davidpogue.com, P-O-G-U-E. And you guys got to see my latest video. I make a video every week for The Times. You click the one that says this week's video and watch the one on podcasting. You'll bust a gut.
Fantastic.
Oh, very cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
That was David Pogue, technology columnist for the New York Times. Like he said, check his website out. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back.
If you think all batteries are the same, listen to this. When Bon Jovi goes on stage anywhere in the world, the battery that powers their wireless microphones is always a Duracell.
So whether it's 50,000 fans or just you and your CD player, it just has to work. Duracell. Trusted everywhere.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at everything Macintosh, and boy, have we had it today. We had Vincent Versace, the Smithsonian Laureate.
David Pope.
Brad Wright talking about tons of cool video and stuff for movies and goodies. Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks. Jay Nichols, Ocean Revolution. Laura did a wonderful story on what those cats are up to with the Mac. Hey, and we also have a couple things we want to talk about right now. We want to announce the winners of the Inside Mac radio logo contest. Oh, yeah. There's actually two winners, so there's a tie for first place. And next week or the week after, when we get done reviewing them all, because we had over 500 entries, and there's so many great designers out there. I mean, everybody had their own pick for the logo.
The caliber of work was nuts.
It so was, wasn't it?
It was incredible.
It was a huge spectrum, Ken. There were, you know, okay to, I mean, kind of crazy stuff to really, really
oh, there's
slick.
Some beautiful stuff.
You gonna start
out
making
there.
Fun of my logo again, Sammy?
No.
But I want to, okay, here's what remember. We got here. We had the logo we took was from pieces from two different submissions, and then we had our beloved graphics guru and one of the authors of the new Inside Mac Press line of books, Andrew Shallett, redo the thing. But basically, we have a tie for first place, and I'm going to tell you who these cats are now. We're going to post the stuff up. You've seen the logo. It's in the podcast. It's on iTunes. The thing's everywhere now. But we had Mike Kuhn, K-U-H-N, from Australia, and Frank Bizzo, B-I-S-O-N-O, from a Mac.com address. These guys, we took one and one of another and mutated them. So we got a tie for first place. So these cats won first place. I have their addresses. We're going to send them some stuff so they can get up. They got a bunch of prizes coming.
They're going to get low pro goodies. They're going to get MC technology, iPod stuff. Well, we have to find out if they have an iPod, even though MCA makes Mac PC peripherals.
Yeah,
well.
There's a ton of great stuff. So these guys hooked up. They did a nice job. And like I said, it's not that either one were the best. We took pieces from the best to make it because the way the logo needed to be because of some restrictions on sizing on iTunes and the text, and it had to be red when it was 55 pixels square and a bunch of other stuff. Their stuff worked out great. I dig it. Ken thinks it's a logo from the 70s TV show.
I wasn't going to make fun of the logo. I just have to say my art school student in me is kicking back in. Let's not say best. Let's say the one we chose, because I mean,
yeah,
there was
the
some
one
stellar stuff, and really, with I think four or five of us looking at them, we got three different logos that we chose.
Right?
Yeah, and like Ken said, this is not the best. They're great, and this is what
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying everyone's a winner.
They are, and I wish we could send something to everybody. And I'm going to try to figure out something. Maybe we can. I don't know what to do. I really don't know.
We're going
to
give at least
can't send something. It's 500
people. Send, you know, I will send everybody a chiclet. Thank you so much for entering.
Wow. We're going to give five or six
the new
people.
Inside Mac logo on it.
Wouldn't that be cool? I wonder if I could go to Tijuana and have chiclets made with my printing on them.
Yeah, sure.
Wouldn't it be cool to have chiclets with your own logo on it?
At least
I bet you there's some kind of company that I'll make chiclet, whatever.
Five or six people are going to get stuff, at least.
Yeah, and then I picked one that I think is going to be just so cool for a t-shirt. There's a lot of stuff. We need to go through these some more. So like I said, Mike and Frank, they're the tie for first place. That's what we picked. I'm not saying they're the best. That's just what we picked. Everybody's submissions were beautiful. We really appreciate it. I put the stuff up. I've sent people's logos. If you want to look at the stuff, you need to email me at radio@insidemac.com. I'll send you the URLs because they're huge. If I put it up on the website, it'd eat like a terabyte worth of bandwidth from everybody watching them. Plus, you know, some of these people put some really great and hard work into stuff, and I don't want people stealing these things and making logos, so it's sort of like an inside deal, but just email me. We've got some great giveaways. We're giving more stuff away from Low Pro, from MCE Technologies. I'd like to thank the guests of today's Inside Mac Show. We had, of course, the best news in the back business with Ken Ray. We had Brad Wright, Sam Levin, Vincent Versace II, Wallace J. Nichols, Philip Hodges, David Pogue, of course, myself, Scott Shepard, Sam Levin, and the fabulous Ken Ray, and of course Laura from a remote location in San Diego at some crazy concert, and the sponsors of the Inside Mac Show, Micromat, Otherworld Computing, DVD, XDV, Macworld Magazine, NAPP, Layers Magazine, Dr. Mac Direct, Mac Update, and the Digital Production of Us. We'll be back next week.